Coming up here on the Circle Debate Podcast, episode 40, as we're going to go ahead and give our recap of this past Sunday Royal Rumble, our thoughts about the men's, you know, Royal Rumble winner and the females as well. And also we will discuss about, you know, recap of AEW Beach Break. It's a great time to be a professional wrestling fan. I can say that right now. That's the most definite. So don't go anywhere. Tune in right now as episode 40 starts right now. Welcome everyone to the Circle Debate Podcast, episode 40. 40. Wow, 40 episodes in.
40.
Wow, I'm
very happy. That's 40 of the recap shows. That's not counting 200 top fives and the 50 interviews.
Yup.
That's right. That is right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is the host of Devious One. I'm just seeing here with my brothers, the faction. We're the four horsemen up here in fucking California. I'll tell you that.
I like the faction. That's actually really, really good. Doesn't even have a name. Just the faction.
There you go. Well, courtesy of Dirty Heels, they call this the Degeneration West. That's what they call it.
Ooh, there we go.
Degeneration West.
Degeneration West.
Yeah, that's right. And shout out to Dirty Heels Podcast, our brothers, Candace, and Hope Houston, and brother Benjamin.
Right, that's a shirt right there, man.
Oh, we got a shirt. That's
Let's do it.
Definitely. And we have the one and only CQ1, Chris Kennedy. And also we have
Generation West. Is it going to be like, come on. Like that? Is that what it is?
We can do that.
All right, we can do that, all right?
We're going to get shot, dude. I'm not doing it with my
I also have Mr. MGC, Matthew Steamboat. Okay, what is that?
You gotta make it clap.
Like, let Doink the Clown, let Barry Darso's fourth bad character. Doink the Clown.
Yes, I know what that sounds like.
Oh, hey, now you know what Matt's Halloween costume is here. Doink the Clown. It can be Doink the Clown. All right. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, let me get my mic ready here.
Yes, please.
All right. See, so I have to get my flashcard ready.
Of course.
I got to have my flashcard ready here, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this individual, he is a multi-time recording artist. He is a graduate from Cal State Dominguez Hills. He is also the 2018 Los Angeles Karaoke Champion. He lives 1,977,000 miles from Winnipeg, Minnesota, Canada! The Master Disaster, the King of Sting, the man with the plan, and that is Money Mike Lopez.
Yes, he's got one.
Episode 40. Yeah. Let's get this.
Those are made right here in Redondo Beach, California, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I went to the brewery, got one myself there.
Stone Cold is making brew right down there in Redondo Beach. That is so crazy.
Awesome. I love it. Delightful. I finished mine on Royal Rumble, so I'm out.
How is it? I don't drink and I miss beer, so how is it? Is it like a bud or is it like a pass?
Mike will tell you.
Oh, it's an IPA.
It's
very nice malty IPA, I'll tell you that right now.
It's very fruity in the bouquet, in the opening. It's actually a really nice IPA. Yeah,
it is. Smooth. You know what? It is definitely a nice IPA. I tell you that right now. So, man, ladies and gentlemen,
$6 a can. Go to CraftShack.com. Order your pack today.
Right now, it is the best time to become a pro wrestling fan this year, 2021. But let's go ahead and first start off. Let's recap the Royal Rumble. So, out of one to ten beers. Money Mike, what do you grade the Royal Rumble out of 1 out of 10? What do you grade it? What were your thoughts? Were you happy about the outcome of the winners? Talk to us, Money Mike.
Let's see. out of beers, I would probably give it a six, right? A six, six, six beers. Okay. Yeah, a six pack.
Pretty good for a recent main roster.
Okay.
I feel like they delivered a solid pay-per-view overall. And that's me looking at it kind of unbiased because I did not approve of certain results, which we'll go over in a bit. But other than that, you know, yeah, entertaining. It got me through it. It did not make me want to get a refund on those 3 hours. So, good.
All right. Mr. Steamboat.
So instead of beers, I think it's going to be a special rating just for this one. I'm going to give it 100,000 Christians. That's
poor Jimmy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely like, without going into too much detail, this was definitely Christian's first match back since he retired, correct?
Right.
So, technically, yes. He did have that appearance where he got whooped last month. By whoever Randy, that was. What was the segment with like?
Oh, Randy Orton, but that was a couple months ago. Yeah,
but that was like, you know, Sean and Jay, or sorry, Christian, like just jobbing out the time for Randy.
Definitely. So it's like Christian, like this. Big ups to Christian for coming back from that, you know, injury, that career-ending injury.
In good shape.
And yeah, out of retirement, former NWA heavyweight champion. You know, one of the many who did better outside of WWE than he was inside. Seeing that unprettier again, you know.
Loved it. Incredible. CK1, your thoughts?
I thoroughly enjoyed the card. I would say for the most part, from top to bottom, I did not watch the pre-show, but I do know what happened with the women's tag titles, which is just keep them on somebody. Iconics had them for a long time. I know Sasha and Bayley had them for a long time. Just don't move them around so much. Other than that, the card was thoroughly enjoyable. Would we be talking about it in 5 to 10 years? Maybe. But it's definitely not going to the back of the list.
Agreed. Definitely. I would say I would grade it 7 beers. I'm gonna have to give it 7 beers because Captain Charisma came back. I was happy about that. Mm-hmm. And you know, seeing Carlito, like he's in great shape as well.
Jesus Christ.
Man, he's a stocky guy.
Better shape than he was before. And me and Ivan talked off camera, I think on Instagram, how I think Carlito, if he's down and if he gets signed, I think he did get signed.
I will get into that a little bit. So yeah, but also, it was good to see Victoria. I was happy to see her in the women's rumble.
Victoria's
love her. Caught me off guard with Jillian.
I'm glad she hit the Black Widow proper, too. I think someone tried to hit it on her, and they messed it up. Like, I think that was part of the angle.
Pain
and
then voice.
She pulled it out. And she, dude, I love that finisher. I love that finisher so bad. Yeah.
You know, I loved it overall. I guess a lot of people, and which, by the way, I want to go ahead and do some shout out right quick to the League of Extraordinary Podcasters. That's everyone from, you know, Joe from the Ring. Thank you for having Mike and I this past Sunday on the live reaction. We had a great time. I loved it. I also wanted to thank That 90s Wrestling Podcast, you know, to James, Jonah from Rewind, Recap, Relive, and of course, the Brothers Dirty Heels Podcast, Kofi Weston and Brother Bobin Wright. I want to go ahead and thank them very much. But
that Sabu, right?
Yes, they just
that is
yes.
So crazy.
Loved it. Great,
that is
great.
That is, I mean, that's some big time stuff right there. I'm very impressed and very proud of them for that.
Definitely, I agree. So let's go over the match. I just want to go over the Royal Rumble winners. So I want to go with the women's first.
Well, who do you think who was everybody's, like, was the surprise factor there for you? Who were you surprised and glad to see, and like disappointed by? Was there? Because I didn't feel like the surprise factor made me go, oh, shit, like it did in previous ones. But a few of them were kind of cool. Like, do we have a list of who, like, was, like, of that for you guys?
For me, we were, like, how Mike and I said this past Sunday on live. I mean, we picked ours. I wanted Keith Lee, but he was out because of the whole COVID situation. He took positive. Yeah. So, and then Daniel Bryan was another pick of mine, but that didn't happen. I thought it was.
As far as surprise entrance, we're like, oh, shit, I didn't.
Christian, for me, Christian. Christian was the one that really blew me away. I'm not saying no pun intended to Carlito. I was happy about that, too. But I think the one that shocked me the most was Christian. When I heard his theme song, and when I saw him, I'm like, yep, I was already in. I was I was in. I was like, I feel like a kid again from the Attitude Era, from the TNA days. Oh, I even had goosebumps, man. I loved it. I am a Christian.
And Edge and Christian together.
That too. I'm like, oh my God. It's so great.
Reeking of awesomeness. Yes. You think you know me.
5 minute pose. Come on. They should have done it, man.
I liked the Victoria one was cool. Tori Wilson was cool. I don't count the Mickie James as a surprise, even though she's been off camera for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Hurricane showing up again because he was just on that that Matt Hardy at the Compound like a month ago.
An AEW,
it was kind of cool to see him come in and that whole gimmick where Bobby Lashley and Big E had him in. I forget whose spot that was from like 10 years ago. They redid a spot that he'd done before with the chokeslam.
Right. Definitely.
There wasn't a big oh shit like when Edge returned last year. I wasn't running around my room unexpectedly marking out for a surprise. So kind of lackluster on the surprise thing. The Christian thing was cool. That's about it.
Okay. But I want to still go with the women's one. The women's one I want to go ahead and speak about. I want to get your thoughts about it. So the women's one, Bianca Belair, just to be, make everyone aware. And I'm pretty sure everyone is aware, but I want to go ahead and recap it, that she is the first African-American woman to win the Royal Rumble in all over WWE. Remind everybody that, ladies and gentlemen. She is the first
E-S-T.
woman. E-S-T. Yes. And she made history that night. That's just past Sunday. And congratulations. Yes.
African-American both genders or just for females?
No, I wouldn't.
If you want to speak about gender, it could be both because she's no one even in the men's, no one.
Kofi never won the Rumble?
Nope.
No.
Kofi never won the Rumble.
He won that off of Mustafa Ali getting injured.
No. You can count
the WrestleMania appearance versus Daniel Bryan. He didn't win that by winning the Rumble. He won that because
Elimination Chamber
situation.
Yeah.
Lashley never won that. No. The Rock. The Rock counts.
Okay, well, you can count The Rock.
I always count The Rock. People leave The Rock out.
Okay, The Rock. Okay, but all right.
His feet did touch the floor.
Yes. Everybody was saying about Bianca too. They, everybody was kind of like trying to bash on that one too, with Bianca's feet touching the floor. But if you look closely,
then again, the referee, yeah.
They don't count.
The but, power okay. of kayfabe.
All right, well, the first women then. Okay, let's put in the women. First, African women, American women.
Those, like Deborah or Jazz, but that's about it. But yeah, no. Yeah. Not Deborah. Jackie, Jesus Christ, Kennedy.
Yeah, Jacqueline Gaeta. Yep.
But yes, I was really happy about her winning. And then it was now that she has the option to choose. The last three was Charlotte, Rhea Ripley, and her. I was really happy the fact that Charlotte, she smiled when she got eliminated for a fact. It's a karma of what happened in NXT when they met up last year. When Charlotte won, so she won the Rumble when she was trying to choose, who she going to pick. And now it was kind of like a flashback of it, them three being left in the ring. Charlotte got out. She smiled because I'm pretty sure she was happy for these two upcoming rising stars of Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair, and then Bianca winning it overall. I think that everybody, and it's all over social media as well, that everybody's extremely happy. Now, the question is now, who would you rather have her face? I mean, a basic fact, everybody wants her and Sasha. What other route would you want to take? So I'll go with you, CK1. Where will you put Bianca Belair?
Who is the other women's champion?
SmackDown, you got Sasha Banks. Raw, you have Asuka. NXT, you have Io Shirai.
Yeah, okay. So she's not going back to NXT. I don't want to get into it, but I don't consider going down to NXT a demotion. That's not how this works anymore.
Right.
But you are going to get bigger if you stay on the main roster and if you headline WrestleMania as a main roster star. So the better match is probably going to be against Sasha. Asuka is still one of the greatest of all time. That doesn't mean the match quality is going to be worse. I don't think it's going to be as spotty as Spotfest. Sasha and Bianca are fast. They're very similar styles. It's just going to be just a fast, fluid, holy shit moment where I think an Asuka match would be a little bit more slow, grindy, kind of trying to keep her down. I'd rather see the Banks match. And in the Banks match, I think she takes it. An Asuka match, I don't know. But I think in the Banks match, smart money would be on Bianca taking it for sure.
Definitely. MGC, Do you agree?
It's like, yeah, I'll agree for the most part. Yeah, Bianca's great, and you know, but like my overall opinions of the match, like I haven't really followed the women's Royal Rumble in the past 3 years. So watching it again, seeing Tori Wilson was actually a surprise for me enough. So yeah. Like I thought that was her comeback. I didn't know she came back the 2 years before, though.
The first women's, the very first all women's Royal Rumble, she was in that.
She was in it. Yeah.
Yeah, she was in it. All right, Money Mike, your thoughts.
Yeah, it's interesting because you know we as fans ask for new stars and for new stars to be pushed. So I'm all for this. I'm all for Bianca Belair to win this Rumble and go on to WrestleMania. Now, I do, right when she won, my first thought was Sasha Banks. She has to go against Sasha. That's the match to make. And it's, you know, WrestleMania-like right off the bat for me. So it's a thumbs up for me. Let's see how it goes.
Definitely.
What number was Bianca as an entrant? She was one or two, right? She was one and or two?
I think three. She was three.
No, wait.
She wasn't one or two.
I think she was two. I think Billie Kay was, no.
She was two?
I forgot. I don't know if she was two or...
No, I think she was three.
Okay.
What year is it? Is it 2021?
Yes.
Okay.
I know, right? We forget the...
I'm looking it up right now because hopefully I can get this pretty quick. Come on. Yeah.
But overall, I want to say this, though. I agree 100%.
It was Bailey, Naomi, then Bianca. So she put in over close to, what, an hour's worth? Yeah, 56 minutes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Fantastic. Fantastic work. Great story. I love that scene with her and Rhea Ripley. They both almost went over the rope. They skinned the cat, and Rhea's like, hold on now. Don't do anything stupid. Let's get back in the ring. I love that.
Yes.
just great storytelling for an hour-long match with 30 participants. And her speech at the end of it, that wasn't a work.
No, that was her for real. You know,
those real tears, her really understanding that she's now headlining WrestleMania. Very when Shawn won the title against Bret Hart at WrestleMania 12 vibes. Very just straight from the heart.
Great mind thinks alike, my brother. Because I was gonna say that right now. That's why I love the shit out of you. Because yes, this is a pretty much a WrestleMania 12 story.
Yeah.
Sasha being the Bret Hart, Bianca being the HBK, going into Mania. They might have even a – I'll book it. Make it like at least a 30-minute Iron Man match between both of them. And it'll be epic to see that at Mania between these two individuals. And they'll definitely steal the show.
Yeah, you could feel it. Like, you know those memes that go around that's like – it shows like it'll say something like when boys cried and it's like some scene from some old wrestling thing. And then it shows like Edge returning at Royal Rumble those when men cried. This is the women's version of that. This is the when girls cried is like, you know, whatever. And then when
Twilight.
Is when Bianca won that, like right here in the heart, man. I felt that. I could just, I know that you're picked. You're decided. It's not real. You didn't really win the Royal Rumble, but you were chosen by the people that matter the most to be in that position. And that's almost like an Academy Award. It's something that she did earn. And it's hers, and I think hopefully they don't bury her in the future like they do so many NXT stars. I hope this isn't just her flash in the pan moment that goes back down.
Yeah.
That's all I got, man. I love that entire roster, the female roster in.
It's the best one overall right now.
Across SmackDown, Raw, and NXT. We can get into it later, but the AEW roster has a lot to pick up as far as like that division.
We will get into that shortly.
Hell yeah.
All right. So now the men's rumble. Yes, everyone, even when we did the Christmas special, when we all predicted, we picked our predictions. By the way, we got to owe $5 to Kyle. If you're watching this, Kyle, we'll owe $5 because you did win the, I think he won the women's one. He chose Bianca to win. So he got Bianca. So he goes at $5. I'll cash app you, or I don't know how much it's worth. $5 in Canadian. I don't know. But
send them a British pound or two.
But definitely, it caught everybody off guard with the winner of the men's one, and that was Edge. And nobody thought that
caught
Edge,
people off guard.
Yes, it did.
Okay,
it caught everyone off guard because a lot of people predicted that Brock Lesnar was going to return, or we're going to see a Punk return. Maybe
man, that would have been great.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about that. I would have loved to control the fans again.
Yeah, either CM Punk or either or something, someone special. I'm not saying that Edge and Christian are not special, no pun intended, you know, but him, Edge being the winner, changes a lot the story. So I'm going to go with you, Money Mike. Your thoughts about Edge winning, and where do you see now this storyline going?
So I did not like it when it happened. To clarify, I did not hate it, per se, but I did not like it. I was like, no, I don't see it, you know? It has kind of changed in the last 24 hours, maybe. Maybe NXT helped. But, you know, for me, he has to lose at WrestleMania. He has to.
What?
Yes. He okay. has to.
Explain.
He is a Hall of Famer already. He already won the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
He already, you know, defended the title at WrestleMania. He's done it all. He doesn't need to win. If he's given a loss, he'll be just fine. Hall of Famer, all that good stuff. He's fine. McIntyre, and to a smaller degree, even Roman Reigns, would benefit from beating Edge, from beating a Hall of Famer at WrestleMania. There is, you know, I would say Edge does the favor and puts over whoever he ends up challenging, or even Finn Balor.
Okay. But who would you pick? Who would you book him with?
McIntyre. Sure. Why not?
Okay. All right. Okay. MGC. Talk to me, baby.
Let me talk to you. So, you know, like Chris, Edge winning again, you know, you could think of it, you know, some people didn't like it, but you could think of it as like the second half of his recovery victory, you know, a celebration of recovery more or less. But, you know, if I picked somebody else, I guess you could also give it to Christian, but I don't know how ready his body is after recovering so much. You know, there are a lot of other choices. I know. I think one of my picks obviously was like Nakamura, because I always like wave the flag for the rising sun. But, you know, I mean, I don't mind Christian in that picture. You know, I guess he, you know, now if it's 3 years in a row, then, you know, but, you know.
So who would you put Edge against? Who do you want to see? Roman, McIntyre, or Finn Balor? Who should he challenge?
Finn, you'll get a lot of, like, you'll get something really fast and off the cuff with him. Roman's gonna be more like spear versus spear is gonna be the whole, you know,
that'd be fun
title of the whole thing. It's like, I've got the better spear. No, I've got the better spear, you know. McIntyre, you know, I mean, I guess Claymore versus spear, but, you know, like
he's going for the spear, catches him with the Claymore.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, all right.
But my personal pick would be Finn Balor.
Okay. All right.
Fergalicious.
Here we go. CK1, talk to me.
I had this weird moment when on Raw they had said something like, the rated R superstar has to make a choice between Drew McIntyre of Raw or the head of the table, Roman Reigns. Which champion is he going to choose? Immediately I knew that he was going to go after Finn. I'm like, oh, they left Finn out of that on purpose. And lo and behold, he showed up on NXT and at least was talking some shit to Finn and I think Pete Dunne. Is this correct?
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be Finn. I think he's going to beat Finn. I think he's going to be in NXT for a little while. And I think they're going to use that as a way to kind of Sting versus Edge, the Wednesday Night Wars. Okay. I think that's going to be their little anti-Sting moment, is having Edge all the time.
I like that thought of thinking.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
I think that's exactly what that's cool.
That's cool.
And Edge beating Finn is a more realistic in a kayfabe world type of scenario, because we all know that Drew McIntyre is on fire right now and Roman Reigns is literally killing people.
Has
anyone checked on Kevin Owens since he got ran over by a death cart? Holy shit, that looks so bad. That looked like a botch to me. That was way worse than anything at the Stampede.
With Sammy Guevara and Matt Hardy, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just what I see. I don't see Edge beating Roman or Drew, but I definitely see him beating Finn. I would love to see that and see him down in NXT. And I don't want to hear a damn word from anyone saying, oh, what's this old retired Hall of Famer doing down in the kids' park? Nah, man, that's not how it works.
I agree with you. I'm with you 100% with that. If people would say that.
Yeah, NXT is not the kids' table anymore, man.
No, it's not. That's no, definitely not. Also, what about this? Also, you could have maybe Karrion Kross. He ran into Karrion Kross at NXT. Karrion Kross could be maybe the, beating Finn or Pete, whoever wins.
Never lost the title.
Whenever lost the belt, that'll be another good story to tell him. Edge, that'll be something great too. Why not? That'll be something epic to see.
That'd be a great entrance to see that. Yeah. The TikTok entrance versus rated R entrance.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Amazing. At this moment, yeah, whoever booked this made, they did a great job. The fact is that it caught everybody off guard. The expectations of, and I'm pretty sure they were reading up everywhere on social media platforms, the expectation was everybody saying, okay, we expect this, we expect, Lesnar, Punk, something. No, they did it their own way. They went with Edge, caught everybody differently off guard. So do I like this win? Why not? I mean, I'm okay with it. But now that you're explaining, all of you guys, giving your explanations, I like them all. You can do it with that too, especially with the NXT. That's another one that I love very, very dearly, because that does make sense, especially with how you mentioned Sting being in, on the Wednesday night, with AEW, now having Edge. Wednesday Night Wars, of course, two veterans. Why not? Should not be talked shit about anyways if he does go to NXT. Dream matches could happen that we will want to see. About Edge versus, Edge versus Tommaso Ciampa, Gargano, or Timothy Thatcher, or shit, the list goes on. It could be great matches that Edge could have in NXT. And I think he would want that as himself as well, because it's like his fountain of youth, fighting with these other upcoming rising stars, or stars that are already there, that are rising stars, excuse me. But that'd be another great match for him to have. So, I mean, you never know. But we'll have to be tuning in and be watching 3 hours of our wasted lives on fucking Raw. Which I'm trying not to, but I have to.
There's ways around that.
Well, we have to wait till tonight. We'll see on SmackDown tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, you're seeing this in the morning. So remind you,
I have no idea what day SmackDown's on.
Yeah, Fridays. Yeah, Friday nights. You'll be seeing this on Friday morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on now to AEW. Let's talk about Beach Break. Exactly. That's right. All right. Well, we already know that AEW right now is killing it in the viewership, the demographics. Of course, this week, the numbers came in. 844,000 viewers for AEW. NXT only 610. They lost about 100,000 people prior before. But
that was very surprising to me, given that they had announced Edge was going to be on NXT. I actually thought it was going to be the other way around.
Oh, yeah, but no.
That NXT was going to be on Edge?
No. That NXT was going to win the ratings war.
But yes, let's start up with the first match of AEW, gentlemen. The tag team battle royal. Great battle royal. We did see the winners, the Le Champion and MJF winning that battle royal. And we did see the Good Brothers coming in and kind of interfered on Matt Jackson's, Nick, or was it Matt? Nick Jackson's.
Same thing.
One of the,
There we go.
But yes, that was hilarious, by the way. They came in and kind of messed it up for him. He got himself eliminated. Sammy thought he was going to be with Jericho the last two. Then he got himself. Jericho eliminated him. But as you saw, Jericho didn't really see. So a lot of chaos. But I want to get your thoughts, Mr. Kennedy. Your thoughts cool, about man. The battle royale.
I don't know how far back we'd have to go, and I'm too lazy to do it, but I know what we've discussed, what's going to happen with the Inner Circle. One of the possibilities that I brought up, and I think it's happening, is Sammy and MJF are playing the whole fucking team. I think that's the actual team right there. I think they're both coming up from under the woodwork. I think Sammy and MJF are conspiring to take out the entire fucking circle, and they're going to be the tag team. It was more obvious on this Dynamite by them not getting along even more so. I know that sounds backwards, but that's how wrestling works. But come back to episode 40, where I talk about probably four episodes back, I brought it up, and I'm bringing it up again. And that's
archives.
Just what I think. Archives. I think it's Sammy and MJF. And
oh wow,
I don't hate it because it's something. you know, that's all I got. All I got regarding that match. All right. Nothing else was really solved, or, you know, besides just knowing who's next in line for the titles at Revolution.
All right. Oh, MGC, do you agree with that?
It's like, I think one of my favorite things about, you know, the beginning of the match is, you know, I'm glad Sammy Hagar came back to introduce them again.
I loved how, I think it was Schiavone or Excalibur said something like, oh, poor Sammy Hagar has no idea what he's saying right now. Reading the cameo cue card, and that's fair. That's all cameo is. But I straight up have no idea. He's like, what's an AEW?
My favorite tag team. Well, I'm hoping Sammy Hagar is there in his private jet with his bottles of rum. With his rum and his tequila, hooking everybody up. Like, Sammy Hagar, if you're watching this, I applied to work at your restaurant a while back, so, at the Cabo Center.
One over here in Hollywood?
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's one of my heroes, and, you know, musical heroes and whatnot, and he makes some pretty good Mexican food.
Which restaurant?
The Cabo Wabo.
His restaurant?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Man, yeah, his tequila and his restaurant.
The more you know.
I got super drunk that one time over there.
Me too.
You didn't even know.
I didn't even know.
Now I know.
Yeah, in Hollywood, and he's got one in Vegas, and he's got one in Lake Tahoe.
I'm learning a lot of stuff today, man. All
right. Yeah, and he's one of my musical heroes. He makes tequila, and he's got the tequila plant. So maybe you should send them. Maybe the Inner Circle boys could chill out over some tequila. But other than that, I love the whole. I like that the Acclaimed are now feuding with the Inner Circle. That's going to be kind of like, you know, we could just see where that goes with the promos. You know, we could see a future. Who knows? They've compared him to John Cena, but who knows? We could see a future John Cena coming out of that team.
Compared who to John Cena? Who's John? Who's the new John Cena?
The one, the rapper in the Acclaim.
Oh, God! How good were they with that that Lil Uzi Vert rhyme? They literally wrote that the day of.
Mm-hmm.
That was some quick work.
Mm-hmm.
Max Crawford, I think was his name. Max
Caster.
Max Caster. Yeah. I get you.
All right, Money Mike.
Yeah, I find myself being more of a fan, or every week becoming more and more of a fan of the Acclaimed. I like what they're doing, and not just in the ring, but, you know, I find the rapping thing entertaining. But yeah, as for MJF and Jericho, it's kind of sidebar. I'm not a big fan of their new entrance theme.
But yeah, it's not that great. Yeah, I don't like it either.
It works musically, but not thematically.
Yeah, agreed.
Like it works. The notes are right in the beats match, but besides that, it's not that entertaining. Just have it be Judas and have everybody sing along to it.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, I'm of the thought that I would like for Sammy Guevara to go off on his own and be his own heel and do his own
thing. Or his own face. His own face.
Yeah. That face runs money waiting to happen.
Yeah, he's too funny and sarcastic to be.
Oh yeah, I mean,
face anytime soon.
I mean, I can see the scenarios, like, what, you know, Chris, what you said, and I can see your scenarios as well, Mike. I mean, of course, yeah. It could work both ways. I mean, that could happen, which we did see, you know, later on in that segment. We did see MJF, you know, just talking to, you know, the rest of the Inner Circle, closing the doors when the camera kicked out. This is going to happen. Someone's going to turn on someone, but I will be in shock if what you said does come in fruition, that it was MJF and Sammy all along working out the Inner Circle and they be the team. That will shock the shit out of me if it happens.
Well, it won't shock you because I've been harping on that for like...
Oh, I know. We bewitched you. You have to watch the archives.
I'll be shocked if they actually do it, but yeah.
But I'll be shocked if they do it, though. And I'll be shocked if they do it. But I don't know. It's, for me, I'd rather be more of a fan instead of trying to more analyze it. I'm going to sit down and wait. I want to see what's going to happen with it. That's how I feel. You know, I'm neutral as we speak, but for that, you know, in regards for that, what's going on, tension of the Inner Circle, because I want to see what will happen. But in overall, in the beginning, this should have never happened in the first place anyways. No MJF and Wardle should have never happened. I don't know why they made that decision.
Payoff. If the payoff made the storyline worth it, that's the only question left.
I agree. We have to see the outcome and how it pays off. Now, moving on, it's what Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa. Man, I love it. I fucking love it. Man, mwah. These two women are the future of AEW. I'll tell you that right now. Britt Baker should have been the world champion as we speak. I know I'm not hating on Hikaru Shida. We've been talked about it.
There's no promo there with Hikaru Shida.
There's nothing there. You're not doing anything with her.
It took me 2 seconds right now to remember who the women's champion was.
Right.
I love
there
her.
There you go.
Awesome. Yeah.
Fantastic. It wasn't nothing against her. It's just I just wasn't reminded at all on this last Dynamite.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate that they're not really highlighting
party, whatever the fuck it's called.
It's just unfortunate they're not really highlighting this division in this title. These two women is the heart and soul of the division, along with our fellow Dark Order member Anna Jay. We love you too, Anna. Don't forget. We're not forgetting about you. We love you. Call, yeah, especially him. You call him. He's not gonna get in trouble. But yeah, other than that, definitely. I mean, these two women put a hell of a match. I'll go back to you, Mr. Money Mike. Your thoughts about that match? How do you enjoy it?
Oh, of course, yes. You know, these two women have shown that they are very, very capable in the ring, and this was no different, of course. I do feel like the feud could have been written a little bit better, but, yeah. You know, for what it was, the match itself, not top-notch. I definitely enjoyed it. And I can't help but wonder, well, actually, we do know what's next for both of them. A certain tournament, which I'm sure we'll talk about quite a bit.
Yes, sir.
Is next for both of them. Yeah,
that's right. All right, MGC.
So you talk about like them being the heart and soul. It was a great match overall. And now that tournament's been announced, I think for the longest amount of time, like since the beginning of AEW, the women's division's had so many different complaints. The one thing that they needed to do for the longest time, I keep telling them to do, they're finally going to do, that's going to bring their women's division up to where it needs to be. And all they had to do was Thunder Rosa's previous rival in Japan.
There she is.
There she is. Hello, motherfuckers.
Hello, motherfuckers. Go to hell. Who's the cutest in the world? Motherfuckers.
Like, oh my god. When they tweeted that, I fucking started laughing my ass off.
That's who's coming to AEW. And in my opinion, Maki Ito is going to have a huge cultural impact. Like, there's nobody in the USA like Maki Ito at the moment. Nobody. Not even, like, you know... Like, there's no, like, when you think of a Joshi wrestler, you think of somebody who's, like, really tough and athletic and doesn't do anything on the mic,
yeah.
You know, like Hikaru Shida, she's got cool moves and stuff, but no mic, no, like, personality, you know, so the best possible choice is put the title on this gal.
I hope
they put her on BTE.
Oh
my god.
And cussing's allowed on BTE too. So, you know, I meant like her and Gallows talking about dicks all day. Like Luke Gallows talking about his dick
in front of a green screen.
Ah, the penis, you know, like is how she's going to be. Like,
man, I am looking forward to see her if she does come. We'll talk about the tournament. We'll discuss about it. In a few,
I will make this prediction right here. Like, okay. Whether she even wins or not, as long as they give her the microphone time and the feud time, I'd say you heard it here first. Maki Ito will have a bigger cultural impact.
I hope she does this fucking K-pop intro or J-pop intro that she's doing. I'm watching her on Eve, Riot Wrestling,
where she sings.
Yeah, where she comes out like the pop star, and even the opponent is marking out for it. Mm-hmm. I hope she's gonna do that for sure.
She's going to have a bigger cultural impact than I believe like China has.
Yes,
like,
right.
And just because of how different she is from everyone else. And, you know, the fact like how people sing along with the Jericho theme, or how people are how the audience gets involved with Orange Cassidy. I think the same effect we'll see with Maki Ito.
I think people who don't know her are going to catch on that night. They're going to figure it out real quickly.
I just retweeted somebody's like, Maki Ito's trending. I need to find out who this woman is. What another wrestling podcaster posted. So you guys,
they're good at putting that out. They're good at like
when they announced her name, I screamed straight up.
Can I tell you how I picture you? You were just like Flanders.
I knew it. I heard it. Knew you were like Flanders.
I did that with Sting too. When I did the same thing.
I didn't do that with Sting.
That's how I thought of you. Like,
it's about time.
Sure, yep, I'm pretty sure Matt was one Ned Flanders crazy.
Blake Flanders.
He fucking
purple drapes.
Oh my god!
I always wanted purple drapes.
Sorry, that's just how I pictured you.
Oh, you commented on the video that I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at the video and I see a comment that goes, "Now that she's finally coming to AEW, I hope she gets to perform her entrance theme." And I'm like, that's literally what I just said. I say, and I see, oh, it was Matt that left a comment. I'm like, oh, okay. No wonder we're on the same show together.
And all the responding, like even everybody in the chains, like, she's finally here. Somebody's like, how did you know, even though it wasn't announced until today, like yesterday?
10 months ago, shout out to this guy, SZEAG. 10 months ago, Maki Ito and AEW, please. Fuck yeah.
There you go. And yeah, CK1, your thoughts about the Rosa and Britt Baker match. How did you feel about that?
All right. So first, real quick, yeah, the women's division AEW has always lacked. I don't know if it's not for lack of talent in the world they can bring in. I don't know what's keeping the influx, because as you can see, there's the Shell Guerreros, there's everybody down at GSW up there at Syndicate. They're out there. You can bring them in. I don't know why they're not. I don't know if they're spending too much money on the male roster and they just kind of don't ration the funds for the female roster. I love that they're bringing in the NWA and stuff like that. Serena Deeb's in here. Thunder Rosa is still technically NWA, I believe.
Yes.
Chris Detlander's hurt. Jade Cargill's coming in. Just, I don't know why it's so shallow of a division when it can be equal to as good as, I think the NXT women's division is one of the best rosters in the history of women's rosters of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm putting that up against like the 1989 GLOW roster.
Ooh, wow. That's a bold statement, but yes, of course. I see the 1989 Globe roster.
Go look that up, man. That was the shit right there.
It was, I'll tell you that, but that'll be
aside from that, that's my only complaint. I guess you could call it a complaint, or, you know, area of opportunity for fixing.
Right.
But Britt Baker is what happens when you have someone talented in every aspect of wrestling and then they do the Baron Corbin gimmick correctly.
Yes.
Very. Because essentially, very well, that's said. All that she is. But I mean that with the utmost compliment, because she is the queen heel of trying to get out of fights.
Yes.
And then getting your ass beat when the fight happens, and then eking out that win, which is exactly what happened when we saw Rabble, pulling the turnbuckle off, getting that, you know.
Yeah, Reba.
Wasn't a clean win, but it was a win. So Britt Baker is going to juice that until there's going to be like some cage match where Rebel Reba's not near the cage or whatever. Yeah, Britt Baker's fantastic.
She
can wrestle her ass off, but she's really good at making sure she doesn't. That is the character.
I can tell you one thing that I give her credit to the teeth, because the fact is, for all the injuries.
Did you say to the teeth?
To the bone, to the teeth,
to the dental plan.
Yes, to the dental plan, bro.
Really get in there with the lockjaw.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta give her credit where credit's due. She had so many injuries throughout the whole, you know, first year of AEW.
Your fucking broken nose was like a month ago.
Broken nose, yeah, broken nose, torn. I think MCL or ACL, one of those two. She tore a little bit, like a minor tear. Another injury, just various of injuries, but still came back and kicked ass. Okay, like nothing happened to her, and I've commend her and I praise her. Kudos to her. And that's
her mic skills.
Yes.
Literally the second time we saw her. Just look at the jump in the month that she debuted. Her mic skills. I don't know if she went to a school or had a talent agent. She knew she had to stand out, and she knew she'd have to do it on the mic.
Definitely.
She's like the only female personality we have, as far as, we don't really have Jade Cargill yet. But Britt Baker is dominating the mic skills.
Agreed. Yeah. And I'm glad
until
she
this
went
girl
heel.
Shows up.
But I'm glad she went heel, though. I'm super glad she went heel. It fits for her and it works for her. She should be the champ. It's either her or Anna Jay, in my opinion. As of right now, she'll be one of them. You should be the world champion.
And that's, shout out to the waiting room.
I love it.
I enjoy watching that.
If you love the highlight reel, the peep show, Piper's Pit, you know, that's the waiting room.
The Barbershop, yeah.
Barbershop's number one all time.
Yeah, was it? And what moment? And Moment of Bliss.
Moment of Bliss ain't bad.
All right. So let's move. I want to move on with the Hangman Matt Hardy. It was a simple tag match. I'm gonna speak about it first. Now, you know, so
please, I got no words for.
I'm not intrigued right now. As of this moment, they have no plans for Adam Hangman. I don't know what they're doing. For me, I would make him a fucking heel, let him go balls out and kick everybody's ass. Be like the Steve Austin for AEW, in my opinion. That's what I would do with it. Let him go buck wild crazy. Because you're not doing anything with him.
Unintended.
Yes, agreed. And so it's like, might as well let him. You got nothing else to do with him. The one thing you could have him built that way, because let's say he could be the one to dethrone Kenny Omega throughout later on. He could be the guy. Mm-hmm. But you have to build him first to become that guy.
He's kind of the Tommy Dreamer to the Raven. Remember Tommy Dreamer? Mm-hmm. He went like 10 losses in a row to Raven.
Yeah.
Finally got that one.
Yeah, just that one.
The fucking W. That might be what they're – I mean, I don't want them to steal a gimmick that's already happened, but I feel you on that as far as, like, Kenny just has his number and – Hangman getting that win someday could be a redemption story, but right now I don't think they know what to do, and they're kind of just moving around to see what works.
Yeah, I agree. It's an unfortunate because he's very talented, great. I love him overall, and from New Japan, when I've seen his work, love this. You know, his first year in AEW.
Dude, he's also young as fuck.
Oh yes, he is.
He's like 27.
Yeah. No, he's like the same. He's like 1 year younger than me.
He's 29. He's yeah. Not 30 yet, and he is in every bit as talented in every aspect of the game.
Yes.
You know, I'll say this, like, I really highly recommend you guys watch Kenny Omega and Hangman Page's first match in New Japan. The audience is, the whole atmosphere is completely different. It's just the whole idea of, like, the fact that Kenny never has the same match twice. But you guys should watch, like, all the character work in that match and how the other people involved, like, you know, both, like, Chase Owens and Cody walk Hangman to the ring, and pop star Jarina Matsui is in the front row, like, cheering for Kenny and, like, hoping he doesn't get hurt. And then Hangman Page is just antagonizing Kenny, just, like, not waiting for him to get his gear off. Yeah. It's a match you should watch so you could see kind of, like the thug-like fury that Hangman Page has in his New Japan years with his other theme song. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, you know, Hangman Page, the magic that he's got in his arsenal, you know. Yeah, build him. Let's see him in a tournament.
Huh?
What company was that match you're talking about? The
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Money Mike. Do you feel the same?
That's not on YouTube. Holy shit, that's hard to find. If you find
it's
that,
it's on Billy Billy.
Okay. Yeah, I think
it's
I found
on
it.
What?
No, that's a video game.
Yeah, you know. I think that Matt Hardy should just stick to Private Party. I know he's building his little roster of contracts.
Robert Stone brand.
Yes.
just the Tony Khan brand. So it's like a gimmick making fun of a gimmick, making fun of a person.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't work for me. I think Private Party should be it. He managed to get Private Party to become heels now. And, of course, number one contenders for the Impact Tag Team Championships. So, he has his success there. So, just stick to that, right? Adam Page, I think he should have joined Dark Order in the end. You know, if this is the alternative, then no. I think he should have gone, back in time, said yes to the Dark Order, Celebration, all that good stuff. And he said yes, right? So, yeah. There you go.
I like the time travel aspect in the they could even cut that into a segment and have it air and just reshoot the video and then just have him come out as Exalted One.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Now let's move on with that tournament now that Matt was speaking about earlier. Yes. Now AEW is in partnership That's just one doors that are opening. We'll get to the finale, ladies and gentlemen. That's one of the doors that are opening with now DDT Wrestling, with Joshi Pro Wrestling, DTW Wrestling. Matt, we'll give more for the details, and we'll ask him. With this now opening those doors for the women's division, which it finally, it's about damn time that they added now this women's, you know, roster in addition to AEW. We do not know yet more for the details if they're gonna go ahead and have it. I mean, the matches in Japan are gonna be obviously in Japan, but it's gonna be air on YouTube, or it's not gonna be on AEW Dynamite because it's too makes too much time. Maybe it could be on their YouTube channel, which
yeah,
I
like the dark channel. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking it might be on that most definitely, because they did have the women's tag team tournament at Mondays. So they might have to do the same thing for this tournament, have it on Mondays, like from Japan airing theirs as well here in the States. So I'm looking forward. I'm glad that there's a lot of big names. I mean, from Aja Khan to, you know, Yuka Sakazaki, Veni, Emi Sakura.
Emi Sakura, she's the head of, she's not just part of Tokyo Joshi Pro. She's the head of Chaco Pro. She has her own promotion in Japan. And she is Hikaru Shida's teacher as well. She's kind of like, she's like the mama, the godmother to many of the Joshi like girls. What's up?
I like Takamichinoku kind of is now.
Yeah, she's like Lady Takamichinoku. And the Chaco Pro, it actually happens in a small classroom. That's the venue of their wrestling events. So I highly recommend that.
But yeah, go ahead, Matt. Are you excited? Give the audience and give, you know, fill them in for the details of these Joshi Pro Wrestling women.
You know,
hold on. Matt, tell them who else is in the tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's two. Yeah,
show them.
I was going to say it, but I'd rather have you say it.
So, of course, we got Mei Suruga. Okay, so I'll read off the Joshi list.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I just got to pull it up right now. But while I'm pulling it up, I'm going to tell you one special weapon in the arsenal. Of course, I've talked about Maki Ito, but let me tell you about Maki Ito's head. So she has this gimmick where she has an indestructible skull. She has an indestructible skull. And just like, you know, how many wrestlers use that flying headbutt or the headbutt? It's Harley Race, Dynamite Kid, Chris Benoit, and the fourth one in that combination is Maki Ito.
Daniel Bryan's
got the flying headbutt. Yes.
Lars Sullivan.
He doesn't exist anymore. Let's replace him with Maki Ito.
Cancel.
Maki Ito's replacing him now. So, and
not even no future.
And she's got sexier future pictures.
Endeavors at all. There was no future endeavors for him.
Yeah, so Maki Ito, she's got a top rope headbutt, and that's not even her finisher. She just has a lot of skull, indestructible skull-based moves. But on the Japanese side, we have Aja Kong, we have Yuka Sakazaki. I think she's part of a tag team called like the Chubby Bunnies or the Magical Bunnies, you know, because she's got like the bunny teeth that, in case you guys forgot, Britt Baker made her bleed from the teeth. So she's got to get even with her for messing up her bunny teeth. Veni, we got Emi Sakura, of course, Chaco Pro. Ryo Mizunami was in the she was at Double or Nothing in that first Joshi event, you know, kind of more of your tough tomboyish, you know, more like punk rock, you know, like short hair, mess you up brawler, you know. Yeah. So to see,
great, by the way, she was great.
Yeah, she was at Double or Nothing. Mei Suruga, you know, I believe she's part of the Tokyo Joshi Pro Tag Team Division. Rin Kadokura, you know, that's gonna be probably. I wonder if she has like the toughest name for Americans to pronounce, because like Yuka Sakazaki, I know one Scottish guy was like trying to say her name a bunch of times.
Not hard. Sound it out, bro.
Yeah, it's just two parts. Sakazaki, you know. Kadokura, Rin Kadokura. And then the U.S. side, I think the tournament's going to come down to Serena Deeb and Maki Ito. Just
is it left side bracket Japanese, right side bracket the rest of the world, or is it just mixed?
Rest of the world, but there is Riho's on the American side, even though she's Japanese. So
is it actually broken down exactly like left bracket, right bracket?
Yeah.
But did they haven't like really done it? Like, yeah. Well, one side the U.S. and one side Japan, but they haven't like announced the matches yet.
So eventually, it's going to come down to
East versus the finals.
Yeah, so
which is going to be one person from Japan who will be coming to the States and wrestle for that, you know, for the finals versus East.
So the U.S. side is Serena Deeb, Riho, Britt Baker, Tay Conti, Thunder Rosa, Nyla Rose, Anna Jay, and Layla Hirsch. But I must say, I think it's going to come – Thunder Rosa has got a score to settle because she – that this belt that Maki Ito's holding right here –
that's from Thunder Rosa.
Thunder Rosa currently holds that belt at the moment. She's the current champion holding that title. And Maki Ito wants her title back. She needs to get that loss back. She wants to pay. She wants some payback. And Maki Ito's skulls is hungry for some more skulls to break.
Man, I mean, are you? I know you were happy. It's about damn time, and I'm pretty sure you guys, gentlemen, feel the same. Which I feel
Aha Kong too.
I'm happy for her that she's back. But I'm with you. I'm gonna start doing hashtag. Bring Maki Ito to AEW. Why not? We got to start doing that.
Where is she signed currently to?
Tokyo Joshi Pro, which is a It's Tokyo Joshi Pro and DDT are like the same company. You know, it's like if think of if like NXT, if like the women's division was like NXT, just on a separate show, but you could still see the women on DDT though. So Maki Ito was even in this match called Money in the Bag, where Atsushi Onita shows up with a barbed wire bat. And then her tag team partner is Chris Brooks, and he's kind of slated to be like DDT's next Kenny Omega, except he's British. So there's a lot of things. And let's not forget Aha Kong's a legend who wrestled at the Tokyo Dome. Yes. He's been around since the 90s. Definitely. So bring her in.
All right. I mean, you guys feel the same about you're looking forward for the women's tournament, gentlemen? CK1, how do you feel about the tournament?
Yeah, based on my, like I said, the only soft spot AEW has is the influx of female wrestlers.
Yes.
This is kicking that door right the fuck down.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's just going to pour in, you know, just like the dam, like, you know, the levee breaks. And
when the levee breaks, Led Zeppelin.
Exactly. Also does the same the other way around, is get the American fans who are not as exposed to the Eastern side of things. Like Matt, like we are, let them know who these absolute fantastic wrestlers are, who are as good or better with as great personalities that are from Japan.
And not only that, I mean, just want to just add this very quick. It gives now the opportunity for Joshi Pro to get more exposure now within the States, because now this is an opportunity that AEW is doing that is, you know, now providing, you know, pretty much assisting them putting their content here into the States and be recognized and be, you know, have now these new fans or these, you know, of AEW or current fan, you know, whatever you want to call it, just to see, but okay, this is something different, something new, something fresh that they never paid attention to because they're used to what we're seeing. But now this is, I'm kudos to Tony Khan or whoever booked this, make this possible. Now this is a great opportunity especially for Joshi Pro wrestlers to be recognized, and especially here in the States. And I'm looking forward to see how they're going to do it. And I'm happy. Congratulations to all of them, you know, because it's going to be really good. Very, very good. It's a big day to be a fucking professionally, you know, pro wrestling fan, bro. I'm sorry. I'm just too hyped up. But yeah.
Yeah, I know. The beginning of 2021 is exactly how we thought 2020 ended. We didn't see it coming. And we're so stoked to see how it happens. Yeah.
Definitely.
We got a year for all of these.
Yeah, definitely. Money Mike, do you feel the same? Do you feel the same with this tournament? Does it get you like, okay, I'm kind of want to see it? How does it get to you, Money Mike?
Yeah, you know, when AEW started, I had only just I was exclusively a WWE fan for 20 years, right? AEW introduced me to this new cast of characters that I've really enjoyed watching now. You know, I've grown to become a fan of a lot of them. And here we go again. AEW introducing yet more wrestlers to, as I'm sure me, as I'm sure other people in the United States, right? Canada and all that stuff. So I look forward to seeing this new set of characters, of wrestlers.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, like how you guys say that the women's division needs, you know, more.
It needs more wrestlers. It needs literally a dozen more people for it to be at full potential.
Agreed.
And I'll say, you know, about Maki Ito, right? I hope I said that right. You know, Matt, very excited about it. Seeing him excited about it makes me excited about it. And I look forward to catching that. And again, hopefully she goes on BTE and maybe even challenges for that title, right?
She'll challenge for all of it. I want to see her up against the guys. That's how much I'm. Yeah. I think it's going to be so like.
It's less taboo. Am I not wrong over in Japan to have those matches?
Yeah, and especially the way, because she has such great character work, she can make it work with the dudes.
Yeah.
Like, even one of her promos advertising, so if your membership with Wrestle Universe is expired, you could go to hell. And she was also like, so watch Wrestle Universe for fucking ever.
I know this is going to sound super stereotypical, and I don't want this to come off as, like, uneducated, but very Gogo Yubari. No, Deadly Assassin, cute little schoolgirl, will fuck your dad up. Very similar style. And I appreciate that, but she comes out all J-pop, and then she's like...
She is an idol. She's part of a group called Lin-Q in Japan. She was part of two different pop idol groups. Her whole story is that she's a failed pop idol turned wrestler. That's her whole gimmick.
Now she's pissed about it.
Yeah, and she's pissed about it. And that's why she comes to the ring singing. And her tag team partner, she even put out a song with her tag team partner. And that's available on YouTube if you guys want to watch it.
All right. So
only I was just gonna say only 6 wrestlers in history have ever sung their own theme songs, and she's one of them.
I want to go ahead and move.
I can name one of them. Do you know that it's Sexy Yama Akiyama?
Oh wait, let's make that 7. We got 7, more.
Yeah. Akiyama. He sung his own in pro wrestling and in MMA and in kickboxing, I believe.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Wow. Okay. So. Move on.
And he's literally like a number one gold record holder in Japan, and also wins like titles in spite for combat sports.
That phase.
Okay, so I want to go ahead and move on to now very quick. I want to go ahead and skip the marriage, the wedding that was lost me.
I want to skip that too. That was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I don't want anyone to talk about it.
No, I'll say this about Father James Mitchell though, just on his own. He's a great manager. I'm kind of glad that he is on. I hope to see more of him just alone.
I did love him being him. I love the jokes they made. Like, what is this? Some kind of minister? And then he must be sinister. I was like, dude, we know it's James Vandenberg. Come on, man.
Okay.
I mean, the disciples of the new church.
That was
are
the only
great...
highlight reel, only highlight of that segment. Everything else about that segment was written by Vince 8 years ago.
But Father James Mitchell, I want him, because I made this a post. I want him to have a lot of involvement with the Dark Order, because he's so natural to that gimmick, that concept of a cult, supernatural, you know, demons and all that stuff. I love the disciples of the new church, and who knows, you know, any and whatever involvement he could have with the Dark Order, he could bring it back to like that the roots of what
he
that
could,
gimmick
as
is.
As you say that.
I don't know about that.
They dropped some hint on Dynamite about him being in the Dark Order. I don't know what I picked up on, but as you say it, like, he could make them like whip into shape and go evil again. Like, this joking around, this clowning around has to stop. If you want to be the Dark Order,
he's the best, and he's been doing it since 2003. So, you know, we could see some of the disciples of the
get that click with the. Fucking Canyon, right?
Slash and there's a few other guys, you know.
But we'll get into that when that develops more. We may never see him again. We may see him next week. So.
I'm telling you, I wasn't intrigued. I wasn't like that. Didn't intrigue me.
Yeah, there's a reason we're only talking about James.
James. Everything else is.
I want to go ahead. I just want to move on very quick now to the main event. I'm skipping the Lance Archer one, but you know that was a great match overall.
I wish he would have hit Blackout on the Bunny. That would have been the shit.
Yeah,
yes, please.
That was so ready.
I would have been laughing my ass off. That would have happened.
Maybe they're saving it for a Revolution. She's going through a table.
Through a table. You said it when I said it.
Yeah.
Blackout through a table, man. That'll
Blackout through a table at Revolution. No, three tables.
Lance over the top, because right now he's teetering on being a face. He's just like one. Step away, and that would be the big step. That would be the Bubba Dudley step right there.
Yes, so that's fucking...
put the bunny through three tables. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Make it happen.
Off the top rope.
Yeah, just like in the Escalera de la Muerte match.
Yeah.
So now to the main event, gentlemen. So So we have Kenny Omega, Good Brothers versus Moxley, Pac, and Phoenix match. I'm going to go very quickly right first. Man, what a match. I'll tell you that. This highlight was really more for Phoenix. He did a fucking incredible job on every part of the both sides, both they, and he did phenomenal. I loved it. He, this motherfucker stole the show for me. Look, everybody else did too, but Phoenix did a great job. The aftermath, we did see who was that guy wearing, and there you have it. This is why you should be a fucking wrestling fan right now. New Japan Zone, Kenta showed up. Now the relationship, the doors are finally open.
Wide open.
The doors just, yep, it's a wrap. But let me just, don't get your hopes up, because remind you, they're not going to go ahead and right away send their stars from Japan to here to the United States. No, they're not doing that. They're going to, of course, maybe want like Kenta because he lives in Florida. Maybe they're going to go ahead and use now people from New Japan Strong, you know, USA, like in Phantasmo. They'll use him. They can use Fred Roser, who's now, you know, Danny Limelight, who's part of that as well. J.R. Kratos. Filthy Tom Lawler, out of honor, another one. So much shit they could do. I'm sorry to say this. I know that Brother Bowman White said it before. Yes, we all said in our archives, we told you so, we told you so, we told you so. Yes.
Yeah, we're coming
early. But
Japan, yeah.
I'm not going to jump all the way to the gun, but I'm happy that this door is open. If, I'm saying once again right now, if they plan a super show, Vince better show up to CM Punk's house. Please show up at WrestleMania.
Back up the Brinks truck,
people. There's three.
To AJ Lee's backyard. That's not, literally, not metaphorically.
Because if they do a super show for WrestleMania week involving all these territories coming together, and they just barely get the tip of the iceberg. They need ROH to get involved as well. They haven't got a Ring of Honor involved as yet. They need CMML to get involved as well. That's another one. MLW is another one as well because they have a relationship with AAA. So they get all these territories, these major territories to get involved to create a super stacked card for a two-night event before WrestleMania. They can get away with it. But it's going to take the time. Obviously, we are jumping the gun because, yes, we are fans. We love this because we want our dream matches. Oh, my God. They're going to give us our dream matches we want to see. But I know this – but this store, this relationship
– holy shit, dude. Jesus Christ.
So I know, too, that RA got to be over there in a matter of, like, weeks because the Twitter war and the shit talking's already reached, you know – has already reached boiling point. Tamatanga and Jay White are going to be on AEW programming.
Yep.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, like, Tamatanga lives in the U.S., right?
Well, yeah, they live in Florida, too.
Yeah, they live. So Tamatanga.
The Gorillas of Destiny, they live in Florida. So, and Jay White, he's able to come because he's in the U.K., but, I mean, he's able to come.
Yeah.
That's not an issue.
Well, he's from New Zealand, but he was on Strong New Japan Strong in L.A. Yeah, so he was here. So,
So, I mean, there's... Gentlemen, I'm starting. Money might go for it. Your
man. Oh no, yes, I'm literally about to like explode with everything. That's going to everything. My goodness, it okay. Think about it. My goodness. Oh, what a time.
that's the phrase of the year.
Yes, you have Thunder Rosa. From NWA, you have the Good Brothers from Impact, you have Kenta appearing from New Japan, and I will even add Danny Limelight. He made an appearance in the crowd there representing championship from Hollywood. We have so many people from so many different companies, and it's just a wrestling fan's dream, really. Who would have thought? You can't write this stuff, but apparently AEW has.
They are.
they are. Man, what a time. And, okay, NXT had Edge. All right, cool, right? Yeah, not bad. But AEW had all of these people, different companies. You know, for me, again, I'll get to know a lot of more different wrestlers and everything. And about the Super Show, I actually do not think they should have it WrestleMania weekend. I used to think that, but no. Do not make the fans choose between two shows, because you're only going to get half the audience.
No, I agree. Right? I agree. I'm just talking out of my ass, you know. But I'm just excited. You know, I'm just super excited.
Por una cabeza.
It's just that the possibilities are unknown of what you get able to do. If I was in Tony Khan's shoes and with all these promoters, shit that I could do with it, man. But go ahead, continue.
Yes, and. You know, if I were to book it, I would probably book it like around May, when WWE doesn't have much going on.
Yeah.
You know, and definitely get everybody in there, all the audience, including myself or us, right? We'll you know, get
in the back of a car.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, I look forward to something like that to happen because, you know, we've only had WrestleMania as the event, right? But imagine a co-promoted super event from all these companies. That's like the anti-Vince McMahon, where he, you know, bought off all these places. It's
like the meme, the Avengers and Thanos. Right,
it's like, it's basically what All In was, but just a bigger version of All In.
So, yes. And I was about to get on that. I was about to say that. I did not watch All In when it happened, but I have since watched All In. And And that was it, All In, but grander scale. So they're not new to collaborating. They're not new to putting a super show together. They've done this already. But imagine on a football stadium, right? So there's that. And, you know, I was going to make one more point, and I kept forgetting about it. But all in all, I look forward to it very much. And, oh, yes, the story itself. Sorry. One more thing. The story itself, I like that it's taking time. Again, microwave or oven, you're going to want to do things in the oven. It takes time, but it tastes so great.
You're like roasting. You're like this in the oven. You're like,
yes.
Or even even like in
a marinate it. Marinate it.
Even when I'm grilling outside, I'm just like, man, I cannot wait to steak.
Exactly. Build that appetite, people. Yes, you right there sitting on the couch, build that appetite because.
Yeah, you. Yeah, you.
you crack that soldier.
When that happens, when it happens that this super show happens, gonna be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Definitely.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll be right back.
Okay.
No, I'll say this big thing. Ever since, you know, the fact that the whole door to New Japan's open and that they're going to be pouring in gradually, like the New Japan stars, you know, you're not gonna see Tanahashi next month, or we could. Who knows? We don't know what's gonna happen, but. If I was not Shinsuke Nakamura and if I was Samoa Joe, I'd jump the sinking ship. Like
Joe's got a very comfortable job where he still gets paid, he's still on TV, and he's still very injured.
I have to agree with Chris on this one.
I think that was just an example of what you mean though. I mean, Joe obviously could do well anywhere he goes, and we've seen that. But if you picked another wrestler like Aleister Black, let's say instead of Joe, he could absolutely be involved in this. That would be great.
Yes.
So I know what you mean. I know what you mean about, like, this is the time to – if you're going to be in any company right now, maybe – obviously WWE main roster isn't your number one pick, and that's not a hard sell. But that's pretty much about it.
If you want to have some legendary matches that can be seen nowhere else in the world, and you get to have the match the way you want it with your dream opponent, you know where to go.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I still want to wrestle. I don't know. I have no fucking clue.
Hey, Chris, never say never. Let's drive. Let's drive you down to Jacksonville. Let's get you on Dark and let's see what happens.
Right. If I had to think about right now, who out there in the world right now would be my
Ray Rosas, bro? I want you.
Ray Rosas, Tanahashi.
I want you and Ray Rosas, bro.
Yeah, that might be the one, because I'm not fast enough to deal with like TJ Perkins or anything like that. Like,
no, he could just work you. You could just sell.
Yeah.
But yeah, CK1, the floor is yours. Tay, what are your thoughts about all this? The doors.
You guys and us, we're really good at seeing the wave that's coming. It's absolutely a kaiju storm that's about to hit the ocean.
Kaiju. If you guys don't know what that word means, it means monster in Japanese.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a tidal wave that we see growing from an inswell, this land swell of all three companies, 3, 4, 5, 6, however many companies are involved in this. It's rumbling and we're seeing it grow and we're seeing now the water start to pick up elevation. And now we're seeing little tiny pre-tidal waves crashing in. We just saw Kenny Omega. He was just in Japan, right? It was Mox. Now we have Kenta and AEW. AEW kind of seems to be the home base for this big cross-promotion thing. This is the hub.
Yeah.
But they're also sending out satellite companies. You're seeing some people go to Japan, Mexico. But it all seems like all the waves are coming to crash here in the TNT shore. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for that super show. And like Mike said, don't make us pick, because I will pick and I will watch one or the other the next day. And that's not going to help either one of their ratings. No. And it's a fantasy. It's probably never going to happen. But the only way I think that the smart fan, would watch WWE over the Super Show if they ran the same day would be if they did get Mr. CM Punk in. That is a nuclear bomb of a win. That is a cheat code for winning the ratings war if it ever were to happen. I don't care who is on any other show combined. They could have God knows who in the biggest stadium in the world. Is if you put CM Punk in something, that's where people are going to watch.
Yeah.
So that it's a pipe dream. It's probably not going to be their emergency backup move.
if it does, it would work.
I would watch it over the. I would watch the Super Show the next day.
But Desperate Times is going to call, man. If it does, I mean, if it comes to that case. If I was Vince, I know that everybody is like not a fan of CM Punk. So
both are too proud to call or answer each other's calls. CM,
you know he loves that shit.
CM doesn't need the money. And Vince
I guarantee you, CM Punk's like this, watching Vince's text. Hey pal, how's it going, pal?
And he just puts it down. He's like,
yeah.
Oh,
but then exactly,
that's what I'm saying. It's like no one's gonna rush to make it happen.
Because he has, by
now. Yeah, I don't know what terms either one of them would have to come to. Or even a vocal.
It will come to his terms. He has Vince by the balls right now. Literally by like cringing those fucking grapefruits like, motherfucker, I own you now. So if you want me,
you got to work with me.
You got to work with me.
I'm not supposed to work with you. You're supposed to work with me.
The long and short of it is we all see it coming. And like Mike said, it's a slow burn. You got to cook it from the inside out, and they keep adding ingredients to it.
I love it, bro. That's like good ingredients.
And we don't know who we're gonna see in what time.
A little Japan here, a little female roster here, some Mexico, some NWA.
Yeah.
And put that in the, like I said, the AEW oven, man. Bake that sumbitch. Stick it sideways right up Vince's candy.
So
let me. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Okay. So like. For those watching who don't really know much about, like, for those who only know WWE and AEW, it's just...
That's fine. There's so many companies, and it's so hard to follow them all.
But this is framing for those who don't know anything about AAA and New Japan. Like with without, like, Tokyo Joshi Pro and all the smaller ones, just those two other companies, AAA and New Japan, AAA and New Japan, Shin Nihon Pro Wrestling... You have to realize just that these three alone are the biggest companies outside of WWE, AEW, New Japan, AAA. And AAA, you know, they pack Arena of Mexico. New Japan packs the Tokyo Dome, which is twice the size of the Staples Center. It has capacity of 30,000 people, probably even more. I think maybe close to 40,000 even.
50,000.
Yeah, 50,000.
Just real quick on that point, and I'll let you get back to it. I'm going to let you finish. Because we're in America and because there's American fans that only know WWE, there's that. Soccer is the biggest sport in the world outside of America. Agreed. It's not even, there's not even a close second.
Right.
There's nothing that comes close.
Right.
that is what AAA is in Mexico and Japan is to the rest of the world. Because you have this insider's perspective. You don't really, you measure everything versus WWE. You see WWE, you're in America, you watch it, you're like, oh, this is the biggest brand in the world. It's kind of just only the biggest brand in America.
Mm.
But when you're selling out the Saitama Super Arena, which is 40 to 60,000 people on a good day, is this correct? I know Pride used to put Super Arena. I spelled that right. How about that? Pride used to sell that out and put, oh, come on, population 40,000. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest, I think, what is it, Dallas Stadium is close to that in Texas, and that's like WrestleMania level.
Yeah, Staples Center is only 19,000.
It's big for America, and it's big for the two or three sports teams to go through there and music concerts.
Mm-hmm.
But you can fit the Staples Center and the Honda Center inside of Saitama Super Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And fill that thing up regularly with house shows.
Mm. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Mike, you were going to say something about it?
Yeah, out of curiosity, like, when did you guys realize that it was Kenta that was in the ring?
Oh, automatically right away, man. I'm sorry.
I was following the tweets. I saw it on the tweet.
When I saw the Instagram post on my way home to watch it,
Mike, he tweeted earlier in the week, like, how far is it from Orlando to Jacksonville? And then his other tweet was today, like, the morning of Dynamite was, oh, today is going to be an amazing day.
Yeah, it was a wrap.
I had no idea. I did not. I do not follow him. But for me, when he took the mask off, I know what he looks like. That was a surprise for me.
Yeah.
And you know, as a fan and whatnot, I guess I got the effect of the moment of the reveal. So you know,
classic, I was curious. Absolutely, classically misused. In WWE, under I've completely already forgot Kent, what was his name over there?
Hideo Itami.
Yeah, that's not who he is. He's Kenta. Kenta is a bad motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
No one is Kenta.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Former GHC champion. I thought I'd let share with you guys one more thing, since like Tama Tonga, you know, he's the probably
club,
the next
without the Tongas, man.
Yeah, but,
He's been harping on that for like months.
He's probably the next one that's going to show up.
Yes.
And in New Japan, I don't know if Mike is aware of this, but he took a set of steel fingers from another wrestler. And I've been laughing my ass off like ever since Tama Tonga stole the steel fingers. But like he holds them up everywhere.
Next to an airplane, like his own seat. I seen that.
Yeah, he gave the steel fingers he stole from the wrestler its own seat on the airplane.
I love it.
And now he's holding up a toilet paper roll with the steel fingers drawn on it. So if Tama Tonga shows up on Dynamite with that toilet paper roll, oh my.
I love it. Now, before we go ahead and end part one, today's just part one, I want to say very quickly, so we are, which we are looking for next week. We did see the aftermath on AEW exclusive on the social media. You know, Kenny Omega going up to Kenta. Hey, Kenta, man, I didn't know Switchblade was sending somebody. Hey, hell yeah, welcome to America, brother. And like, shut the fuck up. I'm not your friend. I started laughing when he told him that. Like, it was like, he told him to shut the fuck up. I'm not your friend. I'm here for Jon Moxley. Kenny was like, okay, that works. I'm like, okay. So next week, we're going to see Kenta and AEW teaming with Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley and Lance Archer. I'm looking forward, man. I'm excited. I'm fucking excited. I cannot wait, man. I cannot wait. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is the part one ending. Part two, where we go ahead and discuss about NXT this past week. Of NXT and New Japan as well, pro wrestling news. And that will be for part two. So, don't go anywhere. Just see our sponsors, and we'll see you in part two in a few moments.